the words in such a way that we'll be able to see them, I believe, and understand what we have here. We made our way through the first session today, and we only got to the first word. On the screen, you can see that there are seven different expressions. James 3:17, we have the emphasis upon heavenly wisdom. And the first word is pure, which we have already analyzed. The second word is gentle, which we will analyze in a few moments. The next word is peaceable, followed by the word persuadable. Next word, words full of mercy, without partiality, without hypocrisy. I've discovered that these words are very unique. Each one is a different emphasis upon what happens to a person when they have reached the point of spiritual maturity and spiritual prosperity. But we're looking at these seven expressions: pure, gentle, peaceable, persuadable, full of mercy, without partiality, without hypocrisy. What I'd like to do is to tell you, first of all, that in the first line here, it says, but the wisdom is from above. The above emphasizes the fact that God is the author of this wisdom. It emphasizes, secondly, that this is a wisdom that must be infused into our souls. And thirdly, this leads us to an understanding of God's plan for our life, which we find in the word knowledge. It is not only described by the word knowledge, it is described by the word full knowledge, epinosis, which emphasizes complete knowledge. We're looking at this session at the subject of the heavenly view. God's plan is for us to see things from a divine perspective. If we continue to advance spiritually over a period of weeks and months and perhaps even years, we're going to be able to detect and see very easily how God is leading us step by step. The experiences of life we'll be able to analyze after they've just occurred. Wow, God was in that. It's a magnificent thing to come to a point of life where the person has gained spiritual momentum and spiritual advance to the point that they're able to detect God's guidance on a day-by-day basis. It's very important for me to tell you that that can happen to all of us if we will continue our spiritual momentum and our spiritual advance. I emphasized in the first session today, and I did not bring all these notes back in here, but I did emphasize the fact that you and I have the proper seed. The seed which we have is truth, God's Word. There's no problem with the seed. It is to germinate, it is to grow, it is to produce fruit. But we've also learned that however good the seed is, if the conditions are not right, the process will be hindered, and we will bear fruit poorly. I made reference to Matthew 13:1-9, and Matthew 13:18-23, which is known as the parable of the sower. It clearly shows how God works. Matthew 13:1-9, Matthew 13:18-23. Peace is the proper condition for the fruit of righteousness. And righteousness is the fruit of a properly related heart. You're seeing two things there. You're saying the fact that righteousness is the fruit, and also the fruit that righteousness produces. Two things. We have to understand that when we have imputed righteousness. It is God who has the ability to work with your particular soil to determine what the production is going to be. It is not that the fruit, which is the seed or the grain of the Word, has any fault, no problems. We planted seeds of cotton on the farm. We planted grains of corn on the farm. And many times I would go with my dad, as I said in the early service, and he would get on his knees, and as a little boy, I'd drop on my knees by his side. And he would knock away the soil. And he would be so pleased when he would be able to see the sprouting of the cotton seed or the grain of corn. Germination, growth, production. The emphasis in this passage of Scripture, as you can see, is peace. And so, we've been able to see now that this particular result is that it brings gentleness. So the second word that you see on the screen is the word, after pure, the word gentle. Let's analyze that for a few moments. I have a lot of different words that describe this. When I look at the word gentle, I would describe it as being at peace with God. If you'll look carefully, you will discover in the original text, and perhaps I should put this back up here. It says, from above, wisdom, first, pure, then, peaceable. It comes, and I've got them out of order on my list here, but let's look at this word now. It's the word peaceable. When I give you this word from the original language, you're going to say, oh, I remember that. It's the word irene. Remember it? Irene, peace. Peaceable. A right relationship with God and a right relationship with mankind. This is what I call true wisdom. True wisdom is a wisdom which produces the right kind of relationship to God and people. When I analyzed this word, I was able to discover, and I have a little difficulty with this because when I think in terms of wisdom, my mind always goes to wisdom that is divine. But there is a discussion about knowledge and wisdom being something other than that which is divine. And so someone said, there is a clever and arrogant wisdom which separates a superior contempt on others. There is a clever and arrogant wisdom. Someone said, there is a cruel wisdom which takes delight in hurting others with cutting words. A cruel wisdom. There's another expression that I found. There is a depraved and wicked wisdom which pulls people away from purity and pulls people away from loyalty to God. This is not what I would classify as true wisdom. A clever wisdom, a cruel wisdom, a depraved wisdom is not a true wisdom. True wisdom is the application of truth, bringing others closer to God. It is the word Sophia, which is a spiritual application, the application of knowledge to experience. What is wisdom? Let me say it again. It's the application of truth to experience. The application of God's truth to experience. It is a peaceable experience. If you'll notice, the next word, which is the word before peaceable, is gentle. When I look at this Greek word gentle, I discover that it means just beyond the written law. Aristotle made that statement about that particular word. Just beyond the written law. Okay, let's talk about that for a few moments. Sometimes it's wrong to apply the strict letter of the law, even when there is a perfect freedom to utilize the law. There are times when it is possible for us to say, the law says so and so. But my relationship to God says that this is a decision that I need to make in the light of this situation. And the light that I'm saying it is forgiveness. One who knows how to make allowances, to forgive, to have mercy. When I got into this study, here's what came to me. It is best to temper justice with mercy. You'll have to write that out and think about it for a week or so, then you'll be able to comprehend. It is best to temper justice with mercy. There are times when it is right for you and me to do certain things. It is right legally, but it is best for us not to do it as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is best to temper justice with mercy. There are some things even greater sometimes than following strict regulations and rules. What is interesting is that there's no English word that really expresses what this Greek word is. I was analyzing the word and I was trying to decide how I would explain it. And I found that Matthew Arnold calls this word sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. I don't know what that does to you, but I had to write it out longhand and then highlight it. The ability to extend to others the consideration we would wish for ourselves. Do you hear that? The ability to extend to others the consideration we wish for ourselves. Consider it. The next word that you see is the word, well, let me put it back up here. It is the word persuadable. Persuadable. I found this word also very interesting. It is a word which means easy to be entreated. It has been described in some translations as compliant. Submissive is another word that is used. It can be described as ever ready to obey. Compliant. And then I put in parentheses, it means not to be stubborn. Some people are saying, in essence, the rules say, and I'm sticking by the rules. It's not an emphasis on weakness, I believe, if a person is flexible. We are not to be so rigid in everything that we do that we try to force the situation. This word means compliant, submissive, easy to be entreated, ever ready to obey, not to be stubborn. I think it's good for us to see this. This means that we're not proud. We're not to express arrogance. We're not to be overbearing. We're not to be obstinate. We may know what is right, and we can do what is right, but we need to be very kind and understanding and flexible and gracious. If you know what is necessary for a person to be saved, and you do, you don't go to an unsaved person and in your determination seek to coerce or force that person to make a decision. You see what I'm saying? Oh, we want them to make the right decision. But coercion and forcing and moving into their lives and trying to coerce them to do something is not the proper way to do it. Oh, it's the right way to tell them the truth, but it's the wrong way to try to coerce them. God doesn't even do that. Did He force you to be saved? Did He coerce you to be saved? He probably helped you to think about the necessity of being saved. Easy to be entreated is one way this is translated. It could be described as submissive, compliant, ever ready to obey. Don't be stubborn. It's not an emphasis, as I said a moment ago, on weakness. It's an emphasis on flexibility. Not being so rigid in our attitudes. The next word you will see is persuadable. Persuadable. If you'll notice that the word there is E-L-E-O-S. Elios. Good fruits, care, something practical. I'm trying to go rapidly enough, but I want you to be able to see these. Let me go back and look at these with you. Peaceable. Peace follows purity, I put down, and depends upon it. We're to have a heavenly vision. See things from God's vantage point. Be gentle, not extreme. Persuadable, easy to be entreated. Know what is right. Do what is right. Full of mercy is the next expression. It simply emphasizes the fact that we have the responsibility of having compassion and concern. Benevolence, desire to help others and other individuals. Full of mercy, good fruits. I'm trying to rush, so let me take you to the last two expressions that you see on the screen. What our emphasis is here, and it's interesting, and let me put this verse back on the screen for you to see it. If you'll notice, it says without partiality and without hypocrisy. Many, many times I have explained the fact that when you have a little A or alpha at the beginning of the word, it will be described as the negative, not. And then we have the word which shows partiality. We have the word that's the last word with a little A at the beginning. And then the word is hypokritos. Hypokritos. Just hearing that makes you know that hypokritos means hypocritical, right? You can hear it. Hypokritos. Hypocritical. So it has two things with the alpha privative there. Not partial or without partiality. And not filled with hypocrisy. So I wrote myself some little notes to give you here. Wisdom is not wavering, without uncertainty, undivided. Wisdom does not vacillate. Wisdom chooses a course and then travels down that pathway. In other words, this is an emphasis upon Christian certainties. Do you have in your heart and life certain things that are there that are biblically accurate, that are your guideline in life? And as you make decisions on a daily basis, as you deal with people, Do you have a guideline that's a spiritual guideline, and you make decisions in the light of that Christian certainty? In other words, you're not divided in your thinking. This is the way I believe God would want me to go. These are the thoughts God would have me to have. These are the words that God would want me to say. These are the actions that God wants me to fulfill. No uncertainty there. I don't know whether you're seeing this or not. I'm trying to emphasize the importance of spiritual prosperity and heavenly viewpoint. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that after weeks and months and years of the study of God's Word, you will be amazed every single day of how God directs you one step at a time, one decision at a time, one event at a time. And you can see it. Getting to a point of being able to see God's guidance is very, very important. We cannot have that if we have hypocrisy. If we have sham, the last word, hypocritical, sham, show, facade, being deceptive, disguising, concealing, pretentious, two-faced. You see all these words that describe? We're to be honest, upright, fair, true, impartial. Talking to a businessman the other day, he said, I really need someone to help me in my business. But it seems almost impossible for me to find someone that I can trust, that's dependable, that'll do what they say that they're going to do and that I want them to do. This is a businessman who has a very good business in this town. But he's working alone. How sad. There are people who are hypocritical. They say one thing, they mean something else. Sham, show, facade, deceptive, concealing, pretentious, two-faced. Do you see all these synonyms? What I'm trying to get over is that when we have God's wisdom, we're going to be peaceful. Peaceful. What did I say a moment ago? Sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. Honest. Upright. Fair. True. Impartial. Would you glance at James 3:18? We'll look at it on Wednesday night. What does it say? And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Another way that that could be translated is peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now don't miss that. Peacemakers, people who are right with God, who have a heavenly vision, who are spiritually prosperous, peacemakers, sow in peace. And as they sow, they're going to be such fantastic individuals. What are they going to do? They're going to be spiritually green-thumbed gardeners. I like that. Spiritually green-thumbed gardeners. And as a result of their life, a great harvest will follow the right conditions of those great, wonderful, good seeds planted. James 3:18 again says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You folks are such fantastic listeners, and I appreciate the fact that I can be so kind to get you and let you out early so that you can graze. The whole service without an amen, I got one there. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. In these last moments, let me say to you who listen to this message by way of the internet, the greatest thing that you could ever do in life, if you've not already done this, is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. God's grace is so fantastic. God loved us so much that He gave His Son, Jesus, to come to this earth as the God-man and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. He was buried. He came forth out of the grave. He ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. He will save you if you'll trust Him at this very moment. I encourage you to do that. The Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Not hope so, or maybe so, shall be saved. Father, thank You so much for this day. We thank You for the food that has been prepared, and we pray that You will use it now to nourish and strengthen our bodies. And bless us and bless the missionary who speaks to us today. We're thankful for her and the mission work that is being done in Zambia, Africa. We're thankful for those 21 or 22 little children, orphans, who are being trained. Bless them, we pray. And bless these dear missionaries as they minister so faithfully. We thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name. Now before we leave, how many minutes do we need, Faye? 10 minutes. If you'll stay out of the kitchen, please, for 10 minutes. You're dismissed. Remember to eat in the fellowship hall. And you're on your way.